How many of you know what season of the year it is? Springtime, right? Yep. It just became spring, what, a week ago, right? Well, here in Florida, it's been spring for like a long time, but anyway, according to the astronomical things and all that stuff those guys study, it became spring about a week ago. And you know, although I don't know a whole lot about it myself, my wife does, and she tells me now's a really good time to use these kinds of things. You guys use these about this time of year, right? Lots of seeds, right? Now, she's got some here. She's got some here. Beets. Y'all like beets? Beets, absolutely. One of your favorites is beets, right? And your favorite beet? Yeah, he says, yeah, absolutely. How about green beans? You like green beans?
Yep.
Oh, yeah, there we go. We got a positive hit on green beans. So she likes green beans. And how many of you know this one, Swiss chard? Yeah, it's kind of like spinach, right? Right? She plants that. And then you always got to have a fun one, right? So here's some zinnias. Ooh, yeah, pretty flowers, I guess. So she plants these things, but I've looked in these packages, and frankly, I don't think I'd want to eat anything that's in here. Just doesn't look appealing to me. What's in this one doesn't look like beets. What's in this one doesn't look like Swiss chard. This one does look sort of like beans, but they're not, you know, in the pods and stuff. And these definitely are not very colorful. You know, there's just not much to them. You look inside here, there's not much. In fact, this one almost feels like there's nothing in there at all. There's almost nothing in the package. Except a promise, right? There's a promise in these packages. There's a promise that good things will come up. If I plant these, I definitely don't expect dandelions if I plant this. Now, I'll probably get dandelions. She would get zinnias, but I'm pretty sure I'd get dandelions. And in these, you know, there's nothing really that you'd want to eat right here, but the promise is there, isn't it? The promise of something good coming as you plant these. And the interesting thing is that in order to get good things out of this, you got to throw them away. You got to throw them away. Just throw them in the dirt. What? Wait, where's the sense in that? If I were to take these green beans and I were to eat them, you know, that has something in it. You can see, you can even hear, there's something in here. I could eat these right now because they're certified organic and stuff, so it doesn't have, like, you know, bug spray or nothing on them. So I could eat these. It'd be pretty tough, I suspect. Maybe if I cooked them for a while, I could eat them, and I could eat a little bit, right? But if I throw them away in the dirt, what happens? Multiplies, right? I get so much more because I got rid of it, so to speak, right? And that's kind of what it's like here. We have to make a sacrifice sometimes of the little that we have right now to get a whole lot later, right? In other words, these seeds, what we think of as the promise, needs to go into the dirt and it needs to die. You won't get to eat this seed in order to get much more, in order to get the real harvest, right? Jesus talked about that in John chapter 12, verses 24 to 26. John chapter 12, verses 24 to 26. And I'm really glad that Jesus was a carpenter. Did you know that? I'm really glad Jesus was a carpenter because he told stories about seeds too without having been a farmer. So I think then maybe I can tell at least one or two stories about you know, planting seeds. At least I've watched my wife do it. So maybe that counts for something, right? John chapter 12, verse 24. Are you with me? Most assuredly, I say to you, Jesus was speaking, unless a grain of wheat falls into the ground and dies, it remains alone. But if it dies, it produces much grain. We have a promise, you and I. We have a promise of the Holy Spirit to you and I. A promise very much like this pack of beans. That the Holy Spirit will come. That He will make something wonderful happen in Lakeland, yes? God has good things He wants to do here. Big plans for this city. And it happens because you and I are willing to die to self. To give up our time now, the little time we have on this earth. And we think, wait, I have so little. Why should I give that up? If I were starving, it would be hard to give up this little packet of beans in favor of getting a big harvest later, wouldn't it? And we're tempted to say that sometimes. I don't have enough time as it is, Pastor. How can I give time for witnessing, for all of those things you had on that paper there? I don't have time for those projects. How can I help out with mops? You know what mops is, by the way? You remember? Mothers of Preschoolers, right? It's an opportunity for mothers with preschoolers to come together and share a little bit of the burden, talk together. And as we host it here, as it happens here, they can learn a little bit about what the Lord has for them as well. And so MOPS is a good opportunity, but I don't have time for that. Didn't you just hear? I'm a mother of a preschooler. I don't have time to help somebody else. Right? And all of us have reasons why we just can't do it. And yet the principle that Jesus is teaching us here is that unless we give up ourselves, unless we're really fully engaged with Jesus, unless we give Him our whole life, our whole bag of seeds, we cannot expect a harvest. And so these seeds need to be put in the ground and covered up, and for all that it looks like we threw them away. But that's not the end of the process, is it? There needs to come some rain, doesn't there? Especially right about now, doesn't it? It seems like, how long has it been since we've had rain, right? I think this week they tell us it's going to rain. All right, so plant your seeds tomorrow, right? Because it's as that early rain falls on them, right, that they germinate. How many of you plant seeds, and then the first thing you do is cover it up with plastic so they don't get wet, right? That's not what you want, is it? You want them to drink in that early rain experience. And for you and I, that's giving the Holy Spirit access to our hearts, isn't it? To experience a conversion, to say to Jesus, yes, my life I give to you. And as we think about this revival, as we think about what God wants to do in our church, to not to give us that initial conversion experience, but a similar one where we say again, we renew that experience with Him and say, yes, Lord, once again, I'm inviting you to be the ruler in my life. That's what revival's all about, isn't it? To say, yes, Lord, I give up myself. I, as the seed, will go into the ground and die to myself so that the harvest can come. And so then the waters come. God waters that seed and it germinates, doesn't it? It germinates. It's beautiful. And as that little seed there starts doink, putting out a little green piece and doink, putting out a little root, and it starts to root go down and the little green shoot starts to come up. What's that little root looking for? Water. It's looking for an experience for us, an experience with the Holy Spirit, yes? The water from God, that Holy Spirit rain. And then it's looking for something else. What else does that root need? Food, that's right. It's looking for nutrients from the soil, right? What did Jesus say in John chapter 6? Something about his flesh was meat, right? And his blood was drink, right? That as we feast on him, we have life, right? The words that I speak to you, he said, they are spirit and they are life, right? The words that Jesus spoke, where can you find those? Where can you find where Jesus was talking to us? In the Word of God, right? Right here. As we feed on the Word of God, it's like the plant's roots going into the soil. And so we have to have that rain. We have to be completely committed to Jesus. And we have to have the nutrients of the soil, right? In order to grow. And then that little green shoot, it's under the ground, but it's working, and pretty soon it pops up. And what is it looking for, that little green shoot? Sunlight, right? It's looking for the sun of righteousness. We need that same thing. We need to have the light of Jesus shining on us. We need to be in His Word daily. We need to be praying to Him, making a connection with heaven daily, right? That's how we grow. That's how we grow. That's the same way the plant grows. That's the same way you and I grow. God has these things for us. And so then the plant, as it starts to get a little bit bigger, by the way, as this bean shoot just pops out of the ground, as that bean shoot just pops out of the ground, do you look at it and you get up close to it and you examine it carefully and you're looking for those pods like on the front of the package when it comes out of the dirt, right? Is that what you're looking for? And if those pods aren't on it when it first comes up out of the dirt, you stupid bean plant. Is that what you do? No. How come it is then, if somebody first comes into our church or they're just baptized, we go, stupid new person, how come you don't know our rules? Is that a little too tough, huh? Okay, I'll back off from that one. It's okay. So then what happens? The plant grows up, right? And it gets to be about this tall. And there's little things that come out of it. And on this one, it's real obvious, right? You can see those colorful things that come out of it, right? And we all go, woo, that's pretty. But what about Swiss chard? It doesn't exactly do the same, does it? Doesn't, really I mean, it does have green and red and stuff, but it just, I don't know, compared to a zinnia, it's not quite there yet, is it? You know? And so our plant grows up, and we got our plant, we're looking around. What good is this? I can't eat this. It's just a plant. Is it doing any good like this? We bought one planet. Now it's too big to bring in, so I didn't bring it. But this was the next best thing. We have one plant right on the side of the pot, right here. It says, I clean the air. You see, even when it's just like this, it's still doing some good, isn't it? Even before it gets pretty flowers, this one, I'm told anyway, should have purple ones on it. Is that right? Did I get the right one? Okay, this one's a, what is it, a violet? Okay, so this one's a violet, and it's supposed to have purple flowers on it. So should I pull it up and throw it away because it doesn't have flowers on it yet? Why not? Because it's still got the promise in it, doesn't it? The promise is still there. It's just not there yet. It's coming, though. It's coming, right? And it's still, even right now, is this plant just going to get sit there and go, well, I'll wait, see if purple things come out of me. I'll just sit here and wait. Is that what it does? Or is it already working to do good things, right? It's cleaning the air, isn't it? It's working to do something good. Plus, you know, many of these plants, the bean plant, the beets and things, the little bees come around on the plants there and they I don't know, they pick up pollen or something, right? Isn't that what they do? And they go from one plant to the next, to the next, to the next down the row, right? But if you only had just one plant, the bee would come and then it'd fly away, right? And how many beans or how many pretty things would you get out of it? How much Swiss chard would you get out of it if they didn't work together? If the plants didn't work together, right? Cross-pollinating, how much would you get out of it? Not much, right? Not much. And so we need to be working together as well, right? We need to work together because just like them, we need, if we're going to have a harvest, to work together. And so the plants that are together work together. You remember the woman at the well? What did she do? Did she have all the truth? Did she know all that there was to know? And yet, as soon as she got a hold of the life of Jesus in her, that seed started springing up. And even though she didn't know much of what to do, she ran right down into that town, didn't she? And called others. Called others. She couldn't tell them all there was to know. She couldn't give a Bible study right then and there. But she knew who could. And she was willing to do what she could. So she called others to be there. What about the cleansed leper? What did they do? Nine of them went running off. One guy said, hey, wait a minute. I know where this comes from, and I'm going to go back and say thank you. Can we be kind one to another and help this whole thing grow? That's what it's all about, right? And I want you to think about it. I want you to think about it because you remember the parable of the sower, right? There were different kinds of soil, right? There was that soil on the pathway that was really hard and the birds came and plucked it out, right, and everything. And then there was another soil that had thorns and stuff growing in it. And what did the thorns do? Choked it out, right? The thorns choked it out. Did you notice that on the good soil, there was some good soil that produced a little bit, right? And some produced a little bit more, and some just made this whopper amount of harvest, right? How come that one that was really super abundant didn't choke itself out? Ever wonder about that? The weeds choked out the good seed, but the wheat never chokes out the wheat. Did you notice that? What does that say about the Lakeland Church? And so then, you come up to the harvest. It starts blooming. It blossoms. Little things start growing out of where the flowers were, right? And pretty soon you get fruit. You get a harvest, right? You get a banana or something, right? Whatever you planted, that's what you get, right? I planted a yum yum potassium chiquita banana. That's what it says on the label. It's hard to grow those labels so they're clear, you know. They throw a lot of them away because you can't read the label when it grows out, you know. So the harvest then comes. And as that harvest is getting ready, unless there's that latter rain right toward the end of the harvest, it doesn't get ready. And you notice that the latter rain makes the plant, whatever the plant was, grow so that the harvest of that plant is ready. The latter rain doesn't make the stuff out there grow. It makes what's in here grow and be ready for the harvest. The latter rain is for the wheat, not for the tares. Makes sense, doesn't it? The latter rain is there to ripen the harvest of the wheat. It's for you and I. If we're waiting to see it happen out there, we're going to be waiting a really long time. We need to be asking the Holy Spirit to be raining on the inside of us, to be making us different. You see, the plant that's just green and stuff and doesn't have all the things you're looking for, doesn't have the harvest on it, needs to change in order to be ready for the harvest. It cannot continue to be what it is and be ready for the harvest. It has to change. It has to allow God to do something more than it's ever done before, or it won't be ready for the harvest. Does that make sense? You know? By the way, if you have bananas growing off of your violets, let me know. Hey, it was the best I could do, right? Since I don't have a banana tree that I could bring in, right? We need to be praying for that latter rain to make a difference in us personally. That we are ready for what God wants to do in and through us. That we are God's people prepared to do His work. That's what the latter rain will do for us. Because the last time I checked, we don't grow plants just to grow plants, typically. A few houseplants, maybe. But you never see a farmer go out in his field and just start planting stuff that isn't going to be something he expects to harvest. The Lord planted a church in Lakeland because He expects a harvest. Does that make sense? He expects a harvest. So if we sit here and do nothing different, if we don't open ourselves to the revival of the latter rain, we are not doing God's will. It cannot be business as usual. It has to be a people who are giving a message to prepare a world that is dying. We cannot be just sitting. We've got to be about our Father's business. We have to be out there ready to do the harvest. You see, our children, as they came up here for our children's story today, they came around and they collected money, didn't they? And how many of those kids went, cool, yeah, sweet, and just wandered off with your money, right? But how often do we do that with God? God gives us blessings and we go, cool, I got a good job now. I got a great family. I got a good church. And we go, ah, this is really good. You see what I'm talking about? If it's just for us, then it's not what we sang about this morning at our beginning of worship. It's all about you, Jesus. We did sing that this morning, right? It's all about you. It's all about you. That's what we really mean to mean, not just lip sync. It needs to be meaningful, doesn't it? When we sing, when these folks come up here, it's because it's what's coming out of our hearts, that we want to worship Jesus, that it's all about Him, that we're coming here to give ourselves, to renew that relationship with Jesus, to say, we want to give our lives to you again, Lord. We want to have you use us for the harvest of Lakeland. To make a difference in this city, to do what He has put us here to do, and that is to produce a harvest. To produce a harvest. How many of you read your Revive Us Again chapter 5, right? You have your Revive Us Again with you. Chapter 5, I'm sorry I couldn't be with you a couple of weeks ago when we were scheduled for this. But there were 5 prerequisites in chapter 5 for receiving the Holy Spirit. 5 things that we need to be thinking about doing and looking for. Number 1 was to ask God for the rain, right? Isn't that what we want to do when we plant seeds, right? We want to ask God for the rain. And it's the same in our spiritual lives, for the latter rain in our case. And then we need to die to self, right? Number 2 of the prerequisites. Number 2 was to die to ourselves, just like the seed must die to itself. We have to have an undivided heart, nothing of self in this. We need to give up self. Number 3, the plant needed nutrients from the soil, water from the soil, and sunlight, right? We need the same. So, prerequisite number 3 is to drink in the Holy Spirit, to partake of the Word of God, to allow the Son of Righteousness, Jesus Christ, to sink into our lives and make a difference. Number 4, the plants, as they grow up, as those plants grow up, they need to work with the other plants that are around them in order to be ready to produce that harvest, right? And they do good things like produce oxygen even before they produce a harvest. Oh, all that fresh oxygen. Yeah. That's it. We need to do the same. We need to put away all the strife, all the struggle between us, just like the disciples did when they were in touch with Jesus. All that time they were with him. Who's going to be the greatest? Who's going to be the greatest? By the time they get to the upper room, as they were waiting for the Holy Spirit, that stuff went away. It was about, how can I bless you? How can we bless others? How can we receive what Christ has promised to us? And then, number five, active labor for others. Active labor for others. That's why today we put out that little sheet. So if you didn't fill that out yet, if you didn't turn it in the offering, please consider doing so now, because it is through this, through stepping out in faith, saying, yes, Lord, I'm praying for the Holy Spirit. I'm giving up myself. I'm drinking in the Word. I am together with my fellow church members. And now, Lord, I'm stepping out in faith to work for you, even though I know I don't have the ability or the time or the inclination, maybe even. But I'm giving myself right now to serve. And so you can check one of those boxes or fill in something the Lord is laying on your heart just now and give it to me at the end, because one of the prerequisites, if we're really serious about the Holy Spirit, is to not just be sitting, but to be working for the Lord right now, to be doing His will. You see, as we are in connection with heaven, as we drink in those nutrients, then we give it out again. Again and again and again, I go over and over the idea that we need to be connected to the Lord and to one another. That's how we grow. That's how we produce a harvest. That's what the Lord wants to do for us. When we first started into this book, you and I, we began to think about the impact of prayer on our revival, on our reception of the Holy Spirit. And I asked you, we all got together in groups here, do you remember? Little groups all over our sanctuary praying. We got together in groups. I asked you at that time, be praying. Be praying together. Call that person up. Go visit them. Spend time in your groups praying for the Lord. I want to make sure we're still doing that today. I want you to take time again today to be praying together. And so we will break again into our groups this morning to pray for God to bless the Seventh-day Adventist Church in Lakeland with His Holy Spirit, that we might produce a bountiful harvest, because Jesus is coming soon, brothers and sisters. Didn't we just sing that just a few minutes ago? Wasn't that our opening song, number 212? Didn't we just sing that a minute ago? 'Tis almost time for the Lord to come. I hear the people say, the stars of heaven are growing dim. It must be the breaking of the day. Jesus is very near, and we, as His people, the ones He has planted, expecting a harvest, we are the ones who need to be praying for that latter rain today. And so I want you to take just a moment now to come together in your groups, to pray together, and to ask God to bless this church with His Holy Spirit.